Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job so that you can find the best candidates? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology takes over. It officially matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/firstcut. That's ZipRecruiter.com/firstcut. One more time, try it for free, ZipRecruiter.com/firstcut. Back here on the First Cut Podcast, big week ahead. We told you we were going to be bringing you a little bit of an adjusted schedule, and that's because we want to give you the best Open Championship, British Open coverage that we possibly can here on the First Cut Podcast with Kyle Porter. So Kyle, we sit here moments after a thrilling conclusion to the fifth major. Bryson DeChambeau climbs over Patrick Rogers with an incredible final putt, a 30 on the back nine. There's a lot to take in here as we sit in the immediate aftermath for Bryson DeChambeau, which, by the way, will also include a plane flight to Royal Birkdale and a spot in those Open Championships. Man, can we start with BDC right there with the artist?
We've got Michelangelo's first painting. We've got Homer's first writing, the first work of Homer, and now we've got Bryson DeChambeau's first masterpiece as a professional. What a back nine! I mean, you know, we were talking about this a little bit before we started, but DeChambeau is so polarizing, and so he's such a lightning rod for takes. He's like a take machine. Like, he just provides takes for the whole golf world. But you can't argue with a 30 on the back nine. That was so impressive. And the putts that he made, the shot he hit on 17 and then the putts that he made on 17 and 18 were, I mean, it's big boy stuff, especially the one on 18. And I feel bad for Rogers, especially the way it ended, but really impressive from DeChambeau to get his first win in just his 40th start.
Yeah, on 17, the par 5, 270 yards away, like off lie from almost near the cart path. He sticks it on the green, rolls his eagle putt close enough to then get birdie right there. The birdie putt that he had on 18 after a really, really strong approach shot just like looked like it was going to hang right and then lips in, and like all of this was going down. And one of the things that I love about taking in a Sunday as a casual golf fan is just when you get to see those huge swings, and it's like right as these birdies are rolling in, you've got Rogers can't find the fairway off the tee, things starting to fall apart. It was drama in the John Deere Classic in a way that I was not expecting at all. Bryson DeChambeau, we know he loves data, so let's talk about the data here. You just mentioned it. First PGA Tour win in just 40 PGA Tour starts. His best so far. He had a T2 at Puerto Rico, a T4 at the RBC Heritage last year. He was 14th at the Greenbrier, 17th at the Quicken Loans. But for the most part, man, his results, a lot of missed cuts. So, like, before we get into the fun of the takes, like, what is your, like, Kyle Porter, where do you sit right now? Because, like, we love the drama of it. We love like golf Twitter was just popping off all day. Yeah. as Bryson started to make his run. But like just from a golf perspective, where do you have him where do you sort of grade him out so far with, I guess, just 2 years of professional results so far?
Yeah, you know, I think the problem for him, and this happens with a lot of guys who are successful in college, is that you think, and they probably think, that you just come out onto the PGA Tour and you keep winning or you keep contending. And it's hard, man. It is so hard to win tournaments. It's hard to contend. And so I think DeChambeau's path is kind of the more traditional path for a star in college, is that you get out there, you turn pro. He had a lot of noise around him coming in. Some of it was because he won the US Amateur and the NCAA. Some of it was because he talked about comparing himself sort of to Einstein and George Washington. So a little bit of it was
he brings some of this on himself. I mean, he rocks the hat. He broadcasts and welcomes the storylines about his his different? All the clubs are the same length, right?
Yeah, all the clubs are the same length. He talks about, you know, static load and his swing. It's just absurd things that he knows nobody understands, and yet he talks about them anyway. But I guess my point in all of this is, like, he's a non-traditional guy who took a pretty traditional route to winning on the PGA Tour for a college star, which is what he was. The guys that are one-offs, the Jon Rahms and Jordan Spieths of the world, that's not normal. Like, it's not normal to go out in your first year like Jon Rahm and put up 9 top tens and win 12, you know, whatever, all the numbers that he's put up. What DeChambeau did and what guys like maybe Kyle Stanley have done over the course of their career, that's more of the traditional route. Now, it all depends on what you think about how DeChambeau's career is going to play out, right? Like, do you think has the talent of a superstar? Maybe. I don't know. I just think he's sort of a guy that's a really good college golfer that's going to have a moderately good to good professional career.
And it was can we say it's fair that the golfing public sort of took to him at the last year's Masters? He finishes in the top 25 at T21. And was he amateur then, or was he just the hottest storyline at that point?
No, he was an amateur, and so what happened was he turned pro like the second after his putt on 18 fell on Sunday, and then he finishes T4 at the Heritage the next week. And so you get this low AM at the Masters combined with the T4 at the Heritage, and you're like, hell, next Spieth, like, this is happening. And then it didn't happen, and he played on the web.com some last year, and so he's not bouncing around, but he's just taken a probably a longer path to winning than he thought. You know what's interesting, Chip? Jordan Spieth and Bryson DeChambeau, 3 months apart in age.
Yeah, so both 23, right?
We think about DeChambeau being this young, like, up and coming. Well, Jordan Spieth's got 9 wins on him in 2 majors, and they're the same age. So just kind of a little bit of a reality check for Mr. Artiste there.
Over under career wins, I've got it at 4.5.
Well, that's a good number. I like that number a lot. I think he genuinely cares about being great. I think sometimes he might care too much about it, right. but that matters as a pro. I mean, it really does. It's so easy to
particularly when we're projecting out for what we assume will be decades upon decades of professional play ahead of him.
I'd go over with not a ton of confidence. I think it's so easy to get these guys that are like that kind of pop as brands and as names to kind of project things upon them. And the reality is, like, he's not been great at golf over the last year and a half. He's been all right, but he's not been, like, spectacular. So, I don't know. He's got a lot of stuff he's going to have to improve on. I'm concerned about the myriad of putting techniques that he uses. He's kind of all over the place with that. But, again, awesome week at the John Deere. Cool to see him get his first win. And no matter where you land on him, it's like AJ Pruszynski, right? Like, you might love him or hate him, but it's kind of undeniable that he's good for the sport because he gets people talking about it. Bryson gets people talking about golf, whether you love him or hate him. So I love that part of it. And I think he's a really fun, compelling figure in the game.
Yeah, I hope that he is around for me to be able to talk about him, but he also has 15 missed cuts in 24 events this season, and including a streak of 8 straight missed cuts between the Shell Houston Open and the Travelers. But, you know, he's played some pretty good golf here in the last couple weeks, a couple of top 25s before this first PGA Tour win, and we got another, it was cool, we got another teary first-time winner in the post-round interview on CBS. You know, he seemed genuinely excited. It did come with a little bit of him doubling down on that narrative that he's out there to prove everybody wrong, that there's more than one way to play the game of golf, which brings me to the polarizing takes. Like, where some people are already sick of him, right?
Yeah, I think there's just some eye rolling from people within golf of like, that's do whatever you want. Like, you know, that's fine. You don't need to like make it, you don't have to proselytize it, you know, right? Like you don't have to like get up at the days at the Masters and talk about how like you're shaping the game and change, you know, whatever. But again, like it makes for compelling stuff, honestly. And as somebody who is a writer and who covers this stuff, I'd rather have, you know, 100 Bryson DeChambeaus than, or I'd rather have one Bryson DeChambeau than 100 Patrick Rogers. That's no slight. I like watching Patrick Rogers play golf, but he's not as compelling a figure to write about, to think about, to talk about as Bryson DeChambeau is.
My eye roll comes from the fact that golf already as a game is one that can be played 100 different ways. I mean, they're like just in the different ways that you can hit a golf ball and the different ways that you can approach a shot. I mean, we've talked in some of our conversations on this podcast about looking at a course and really liking courses where you're going to have to play different angles and play different types of shots. Like what that was, I believe, one of your great observations about Erin Hills was that you just sort of had lots of different ways to do it. So I think that if, like, you know, if you're truly innovative in another sport that maybe is a little bit more bland, then I think I'm going to get into it. And look, the club links and getting into the physics of everything, that's great. But like, I tend to think, you just mentioned Jordan Spieth, I tend to think that Jordan Spieth can be a little bit as much of a mad scientist as BDC. Though I have never, with, as you like to say, the slappy way that Jordan Spieth plays, I have never, ever considered him an artist.
Yeah, it's all about how guys present themselves. You know, there's a great quote from Brennan Porath, friend of the podcast, tweeted this out, and it was, I don't know when this was from, but it was DeChambeau talking about a putt, and he said it was 27 feet, but it was on a 5% slope. I counted it for about 108 inches. I had to hit it based on my angle of friction about 8 feet. And it's like, just hit the damn putt. Like nobody cares.
Yeah.
Like nobody cares about any of that crap. But that's his thing. And, you know, whatever, if having that persona, and this is another thing, like guys sort of take on these personas that they present themselves as publicly. I'm not saying he's putting on a front, but if that's the persona that he needs to take on to be successful as a professional, then so be it. And I think it's great. Other people are going to get frustrated or think it's stupid or whatever, but I think it, you know, I don't know. It creates certainly a lot of content for the rest of us.
Ah, love the good content. Elsewhere, hashtag content. Patrick Rogers, as we just mentioned, some struggles down the stretch. Wesley Bryan, T3. Zach Johnson in the Zach Johnson Open started 65-67, finishes 70-67 at T5. Daniel Berger was up in there. Any other big takeaways from the John Deere that stood out to you?
Yeah, it was a reminder, you know, Rafael Cabrera-Bello wins the Scottish Open. You've got those guys that you mentioned. It was a reminder of how absurd the qualifying for the Ryder Cup is going to be next year. And it feels like we talk about this every week, but Berger, Patrick Rogers is a stud. I mean, people might not know him, but his pedigree is every bit as good, if not probably better than DeChambeau's. He won 11 times at Stanford, tied Tiger for the all-time record there. Maverick McNealy later tied both of them. But you just got so many young guys every week contending. And, you know, I know it was a painful way for Rogers to lose, but he should take away nothing but good stuff from this week. He hit it. He didn't hit it great. He putted really, really well, but I don't know. I just think that he's a potential star, just like DeChambeau, and Berger obviously has won a couple times. So I just think next year's Ryder Cup qualifying is going to be just completely insane as these guys kind of mature into that 25-ish-year-old stage of their career, and they're contending against guys like Kuchar and Snedeker and other guys of that age that are kind of getting older.
It's going to be really tough to find a spot on the Ryder Cup. And it's also sometimes very tough to find the right fit for your personal business. It's exactly the same. You need to have the perfect team in order to get out and win. And with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology takes over. It efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. See, that's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike those other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on captain's choices. It doesn't depend on candidates finding you. In fact, it finds them, with over 80% of the jobs posted on ZipRecruiter getting a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. So no more juggling emails, no more looking over your voicemails, and no more having to get back to everyone. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/firstcut. That is ZipRecruiter.com/firstcut. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/firstcut. You just mentioned Rafa Bello. Excuse me. All right. Scottish Open. We did have Matt Kuchar. We had Ricky Fowler. We had the playoff that Bello went on to win. What were some of your big takeaways? Because I'll tell you, I tuned in for the beginning when we had, it was Doat, right? Andrew Doat?
Yeah.
Yeah, Andrew Doat on like the first hole had an incredible approach shot. And he looked, and I think he rolled it in for birdie, birdied the first, and then kept it going. I tuned out for a little bit, and then all of a sudden I come back, and he's a couple strokes back. And Bello gets it done with a killer putt in the playoff. Big Scottish Open takes. What'd you see?
Yeah, just an incredible 64 from him on Sunday. You know, out of the big names, other than Rory obviously missing another cut, you know, I saw what I wanted to see out of Ricky, out of even Ian Poulter played really well. I didn't see where he ended up, but I know that until Sunday he was. Do we know where he ended up?
Yeah, Poulter finished T9.
Yeah, he shot 74 on Sunday, but. You had some big names on there. Patrick Harrington is going to Birkdale as the defending champion there. He won the last Open that was played at Birkdale, and he finishes T4 along with Kuchar. So I saw, you know, the Scottish Open, people can get sort of carried away with, oh, this guy won on Lynx Golf. He's going to win the Open, you know, like we did with maybe Alex Noren last year. The reality of all of this is it's really hard to win any golf tournament 2 weeks in a row. And so I don't feel like winning the week before a major kind of projects onto the next week, even if it's on Lynx Golf. But like I said, I saw what I wanted out of Ricky, out of Kuchar, out of Harrington, out of Poulter, that makes me believe that all of those guys will, you know, at least have a little bit of success next week. And, you know, frankly, I haven't wavered from the fact that I'm going to pick Fowler to win the tournament. And, you know, nothing he did at Dundonald made me think that he wasn't going to play well next week at Birkdale.
You've got Henrik Stenson, shot 68 today, bounced back from a rough 75 on Saturday. He finished just outside the top 25, but seemed pretty confident in his post-round press conference. Adam Scott also making the cut. Where is our Rory worry meter right now after a missed cut?
Yeah, it's not. It's higher than it was last week. You know, yeah. After he missed the Irish Open cut. I don't know. I don't know what to make out of all of it. I watched him for a while on, I guess it was Friday. He played the late and started out good, shot like a 32 or 33 on the front, and then just kind of faded late. You know, I was never going to pick him and don't think he is the pick to win the Open next week. I think his concern now is Quail Hollow. Are you not that he's like skipping out on Birkdale, like of course he wants to play well there, but you know, he said in an interview, I believe it was with Todd Lewis on Golf Channel, like he's not going to hit a driver at Birkdale until the 13th hole. That just neutralizes what he does best so much that I don't know if that's the best kind of setup for him to win a major championship. Now, Quail Hollow is the best kind of setup because he's won there a couple of times, holds the course record. Obviously, he's going to be the favorite there going in. He's got to be. He's got to make sure he's ready for that. That he's got whatever reps he needs to be ready to play well there. Because that if he doesn't play well there, like let's say he misses the cut there, that's a, I don't want to say a wasted year, but that's a big miss for him because yeah. That's a real opportunity for him to get major number five that he's going to look back on just like he did when he missed the Open at St. Andrews and be disappointed about because you don't get that many opportunities at courses you play really well at to win majors there.
When you've got like the immediate turnaround, do you factor in at all? For example, Daniel Berger is going to get on a plane as well. Bryson DeChambeau is not the only one who's got to make that quick turnaround. Zach Johnson. I mean, there's probably 20 players from the John Deere field that are all going to be doing that.
I think there's 19, including DeChambeau.
Do you factor that in at all when you're trying to put together your fantasy golf teams or your expert predictions or going into your sleepers? Like, is there anything that you, as somebody who has to make some expert picks later this week, and I probably will find out that I have to as well. But like as we are making our expert picks later this week, is that something that you take into consideration?
No, not really. I mean, you know, you always hear this phrase, like beware of the injured golfer. I'm kind of wary of like the road weary golfer. Like it's almost like you're so tired and just kind of, you know, just kind of out of it that sometimes you're just not even thinking about it and you just go out and just play out of your mind, you know, like sometimes that works to your advantage. And so my point there is like, I don't think you can like say definitively like one way or the other what it does. We saw Jordan Spieth do that. I think, didn't he play John Deere 2015? Cause that was kind of controversial. And then he goes out at St. Andrews and almost wins it. You know, he's in it until the 71st or in really until the 72nd hole. And there were takes about how, well, if he wouldn't have played the John Deere, he would have won. It's like, come on. Like that's absurd. Like that's an absurd take. So all that to say, I don't factor it in really one way or the other.
I've got one. So we got a lot of sleepers that we're going to throw out here, but just as a response to the Scottish Open, I'm gonna throw this one out there. I don't think he's going to have odds good enough for me to actually pick him as the sleeper. But how about after firing a 68, I like Brandon Grace to go make some noise at Royal Birkdale, at least for the first two rounds.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know his record there. I can't remember. I haven't done my deep dive on sleepers yet, but he's made it pretty clear that he's a pretty good major championship golfer. Like we've seen him at U.S. Opens in the past play really well.
Yeah, he's always in late groups he's always going to be on the first page of the leaderboard at some point. Like I don't feel very confident that Brandon Grace is going to win the Open, but I feel pretty good after watching him close and have one of the lower rounds on the day at the Scottish Open. I was like, ooh, that might be a guy that I've got my eye on for my own personal like fantasy golf exploits going into the major championship week.
Do you feel good that he's never had a top 15 at an Open championship?
Less good. Feeling less good.
he was top five two of the last 3 years at the U.S. Open, top five two of the last 2 years at the PGA championship, and no top 15s at the Open championship.
Come on. Low ball flight, though. He knocks it around there. He should. He's due.
I know it's weird. I do think that's a little bit weird. There's so many guys like it's, you know, I'm looking at the odds right now, like Tyrrell Hatton and Chris Wood and Matthew Fitzpatrick and Mark Leishman has played well at Opens. All these guys have really long odds, and yet, you know, any one of them could win the golf tournament. Peter Uihlein could play great. Go Pokes. Bill Haas, Jason Duffner. All these guys playing, you know, Jason Duffner played I think he made the cut at the Scottish Open, played pretty well. So I don't know. I love majors. I love getting up at 3 a.m. to watch golf. I'm fired up about Birkdale.
We got, as Kyle just mentioned, we will be rolling out our full expert picks, our course breakdowns, and all the advice you need. We'll be recording that here in just a couple of days. So make sure that if you're listening to this on SoundCloud right now, the spot to be for the best British Open Open Championships coverage is going to be as a subscriber, because that is going to be how you are going to get the episodes first. So make sure you get over to iTunes and you subscribe to the First Cut Podcast with Kyle Porter. We're going to be doing a midweek episode to preview, and then on Friday, as soon as play wraps up and we've got our field for the weekend, we are going to circle back and we're going to review what we saw, preview, and make some adjusted predictions for the weekend ahead. Yeah, man, I'm fired up. This is going to be a good week.
Yeah, let's do it. Get your popcorn and start going to bed at like 6 p.m.
Yeah, we're going to bed when Kyle's kids are. Everybody's with us. All right, Kyle. Talk soon.
See you, Chip.